Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's February the 22nd, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana. And later this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Boster. He's the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. In agricultural news, Colin Peterson is telling farm bill lobbyists to back off. The National Biodiesel Board has hired legal counsel to fight the EU, and reports from China say inflation has reached the highest level in more than 11 years. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories shortly. And then I'll tell you how the farm bill, which looked like it would make it to the president's desk late last year, got stymied in the conference committee that has to do with the president's desk, too. It all comes up on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL, public radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Grainfield Marketing in Normal. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at grainfield.com.
Taking a look at the numbers as they settled in Chicago on this Friday afternoon. Futures like this in the wheat pit, the nearby March contract at $10.49.5, up 20 cents on the afternoon. The May contract 19 higher at $10.64.5, and July futures in the wheat pit at $9.86.5, 17.5 cents higher. March corn futures $5.22.25, down 2 1/4. May contract at $5.35, down 2.5 on the afternoon, and July futures at $5.46.75, down 2 3/4. December contract in the corn pit, $5.50 1/4, down 2 3/4 as well. March contract in the soybeans, $14.20, up 14 1/4. May futures at $14.38 1/4, up 13.5, and July at $14.52 3/4, up 13 1/4 on the afternoon. November soybeans, $13.90, up 12 for the day for the new crop. March bean meal futures at $3.61.20, up $1.90. May futures at $3.68.20, up 2 for the day. March bean oil futures 99 higher at $62.30. The May contract at $63.02, up 90 on the afternoon. February live cattle futures 7.5 cents higher at $92 even. April futures at $93.97.5, down 52.5 cents today. March feeder cattle at $103.92.5, down $1.15. The April futures at $107.30, 80 cents lower. April lean hog futures at $63.50 are down 50 on the afternoon, and the May futures down 32.5 cents. They finish the day at $72.95. Outside markets this afternoon, crude oil futures, nearby contract at $98.65 a barrel, up 42 cents. May futures at $98.05, up 24. CRB index at $398.51, now trading 176 higher, and the U.S. dollar at 75.534 is down 0.08 for the day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 12,199 stands just about 85 points lower on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the West this afternoon across the two-state region. A winter storm warning is in effect for Clark and Cumberland counties. That until 6 o'clock this evening. A winter weather advisory in effect for Champaign, Christian, Coles, Douglas, Edgar, Macon, Moultrie, Piatt, Sangamon, Shelby, and Vermilion counties until 6 o'clock this evening. Tonight, our own Mike Solis says in the southeastern part of Illinois and in central and southern Indiana, it'll be cloudy, some scattered snow showers this evening, then widely scattered flurries after midnight. Elsewhere, partly to mostly cloudy. Lows will range from 3 in northwestern Illinois to 25 in the south. Tomorrow, Mike says, in southern Indiana, partly cloudy. Elsewhere, mostly sunny. Highs will range from 27 in northwestern Illinois to near 40 in the far southern parts of Illinois. And a quick look at what the highlights are for the extended forecast. Dry, somewhat warmer conditions over the weekend will give way to another weather system that will bring rain to the south and snow to the north. Central areas are in line for a variety of precipitation with this system. The precip will arrive in the west on Monday afternoon and then depart in the east by Wednesday afternoon. Another slot of colder weather will follow that system early the following week.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
On the line with us to talk with us this afternoon about the futures market during the closing market report is Mike Zuzlow of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Happy snowy Friday, Todd.
Boy, happy snowy Friday. Did you get Chuck on the road for
we
Commodity
did.
Week?
Yes, and I think he's taking Teresa, so she's probably driving.
Well, I wish them a safe travel day. I checked with Mike Sola to see what their travel conditions would be like so that they can come over and record this afternoon. And Mike says as long as they went south, they won't find any snow too much anyway until they get to the interstate. And the toughest ride might be from Danville to Champaign. So we wish them the best of luck on making it. And thanks for putting them out on the road this afternoon.
Well, it wasn't my pleasure. I can't say that. I hope they're safe, too.
I'm sure they will be. Tell me about the marketplace, please.
Well, we had cattle on feed today,
yep.
102 on the on-feed. Placements 106, marketing's 101. On-feed numbers, probably the biggest thing to look at because everything was in the range of estimates. On-feed, both 700 to 799 were down versus last month. 800-plus also down. Biggest increases on-feed were the lighter-weight cattle. So bids at 89, offers at 93 coming into today's close. This should help bring the bids and offers together, we think, next week because the lighter marketing's pace might bring our cash market back up a little bit. Also had cold storage, big numbers in pork. Up 23% versus last month, 16% higher versus last year. Bellies up 25% last month, 48% more bellies in storage than last year. So these 2.3, 2.4 million head kills a week we've been doing, we've been sending some out, and the demand's been pretty good, but we've also been putting some in the freezers, too. So not a good report on cold storage for the pork sector.
Yeah, does this tell you that there were too many hogs that were coming in or that we have had a slowdown in consumption, a combination of the two? What do you see in the numbers for both that cold storage report and then something similar for the cattle?
Probably on the hog side, I would guess, Todd, we started a little bit of light liquidation, but nothing super heavy yet. You know, we got the Smithfield announcement this week about them letting go 4-5% of their breeding inventory the next year or so. I think Ron Plain was at the Ag Forum and just released some newswire updates that he's seeing a capacity issue for the fourth quarter of 2008. I don't think we've started that liquidation mode full-fledged yet. We probably started a little bit. I suspect part of it is just a little bit slowdown in consumption, and the weights are running way, way too high still. But as far as the cattle go, to me it seems like with the cold weather and the winter we've had lately, the cattle prices ought to be doing a little bit better. But I think the traders in Chicago especially are really nervous about Wall Street and the recessionary fears, and I think they're really trying to trim back their beef needs and their cattle needs and kind of doing more of a just-in-time type buying cycle here.
What'd you make of the trade for the week in Chicago for both corn and soybeans? It appears that we get corn futures despite some bigger numbers that came out of that ag forum on planted acreage. I know those aren't the official numbers yet, and we won't have a number really until we get to the end of March, but they said 90 million acres. We still managed to gain in both the corn and the soybeans as well as the wheat.
Yeah, and I think the corn, if you look deeper into the numbers between when we talked to Dave and then talking to you, it was interesting. They've got about 4.1 billion bushels of corn needed for ethanol, and they note in their copy, in their text commentary, that that's 11 to 11.5 billion gallons of ethanol usage that they're using for the marketing year of 08. We really only are mandated by the New Energy Act to go at 9 billion in 08
and up to
10.5 billion in 09. So they even stress what we kind of stressed this morning, that the economic issues, and if we do fall back into recession, and if we do have some unleaded stocks build here, we'll probably see less ethanol blended. So I'd be very questionable about the 13 billion bushel demand pace that they're putting on the 08 numbers. They dropped wheat, they dropped rice in terms of total demand, but they kept the beans and the corn way above what we were expecting and just a little bit above last year. They kept bean demand. Total bean demand just a little under, a little over 3 billion. So that seemed a little bit high. But as a net-net for the week, it sure looked like to us that the beans were starting to carry the corn again, and that bean-corn ratio started to move in the direction to try and buy bean acres between now and the March 31st report. At least that's how we see it in terms of how Chicago traded. We also saw the crude oil turn back around. That was something the trade was most definitely noting. Minneapolis wheat seemed to find a bottom at the end of this week, and that helped as well. It's interesting to note, though, March beans, we had a low on 123 of 1189.5, and we've now eclipsed, you know, the $14 level. So we're dealing with a handsome run here in just a little over 3 weeks. So a little bit of profit taking would not surprise us next week, but we'll watch those outside markets for that.
Yeah, no beans up this week for the new crop. 73 cents on the week. You look at the chart, and just a nice little stair step each day this week.
It is. And you know, you're getting help from the Chinese soil. When I talked to the Chicago guys at mid-session, I said, what was the turnaround due to? We had those weaker export sales, and we had a lot of decreases in both corn and beans, and even had some in wheat, and that initially got us off to a little rocky start. But there was end-user pricing reported, and that was due to the veg oil market and expected more Chinese purchases of veg and maybe even soy oil. So end-users were locking in needs, and that tended to stimulate a turnaround and give us all-time lead month highs again in the soybeans.
What are you telling producers as they call in? I know that risk management has been on the offensive on making sales for a new crop. What are you telling them as they call now?
No changes. In fact, we kind of like this baseline number and this agricultural outlook number. We still like scale in selling on the corn and the beans. We're doing the put still on the corn. We like that even more because we think 90 million acres is probably the top end on the corn acres, and we like it because we're a little bit nervous about the wet pattern we've got now going into spring. I talked to a client about that today. He goes, well, that's one I haven't heard, is that you're actually talking about a little bit of wet weather. I've heard everything else this year. I said, well, now you've heard it all. So that's something we are truly concerned about, though, because it seems like we're in kind of a train effect now and getting a lot of Gulf moisture here about every 4 or 5 days. And as we talked to Ed at the Kokomo meeting and the Terre Haute meeting, he was talking about the high river and high lake levels, and that's certainly something we have to watch when it comes to corn planting.
I know when we talked to Pete Levitt yesterday, he said, you know, these, especially in the wintertime, you get in these 6 or 7 day patterns, and they just continue to stay that way so that you stay wet if you're wet, and that's where we've been. I guess we'll have to wait and see when things change at that point. Anything else you want to add before I let you go for the afternoon?
I think the wheat numbers this week were maybe a little bit overlooked on terms of USDA. They did jump total wheat production globally about 7.5%, and they returned about double the carryover for new crops. So that still puts wheat in our leadership category like we've been talking about, Todd, and it would even maybe be the leadership to the downside here later in the marketing year. So that's still on track from what we can tell from this week's numbers.
We appreciate you taking the time this afternoon.
You have a great weekend, sir.
You too, Mike. Mike Zuzulo is with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Friday afternoon.
The WILL All-Day Ag Outlook meeting is set for Tuesday, March 4th at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. We've got a terrific lineup, including nationally known speakers Dan Bossi and Glenn Ring. AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser will give us an early word on planning. We'll dig into estate planning with Bill Moore of WB Moore Incorporated, and we have panels on corn and soybeans. The cost is just $13 and includes a continental breakfast and lunch buffet. Registration begins at 8:15 a.m. Eastern Time. That's 7:15 a.m. Central. The 2008 All-Day Ag Outlook meeting is made possible with support from the Andersons, Cargill, and the Archer Daniels Midland Company.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Leonard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
At the bottom of the hour, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast for the Midwest. Steve Hilberg, director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, will join us at 32 after the hour. A quick look at the forecast for the two-state region tonight says in the southeastern part of Illinois and in central and southern Indiana, cloudy, some scattered snow showers this evening, then widely scattered flurries after midnight. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. This is WILL. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment to take a complete look at today's agricultural newscast.
In agricultural news, House Agriculture Committee Chairman Colin Peterson is telling farm bill lobbyists to back off and not talk to the press until House and Senate conferees can agree on a final budget number. Speaking of the lobbyists, Peterson says, quote, "Once we have a number, then you can all fight like hell for your share. That number appears to be $9 billion over baseline over a 10-year period with a separate deal for a permanent farm disaster aid program." Meanwhile, USDA Secretary Ed Schaefer says the Bush administration has not settled on a final budget number it would support, adding willingness to go beyond $6 billion over baseline depends on, in Schaefer's words, reforms in the bill. The National Biodiesel Board has hired legal counsel to deal with anti-dumping claims put forth by the European Union. The EU says U.S. biodiesel subsidies are distorting the market and is making it impossible for EU producers to compete. The law firm Meyer Brown will represent the NBB. Currently, the U.S. offers a $1 per gallon credit to blenders who combine biodiesel with regular diesel. This has led to splash and dash, where foreign producers import biodiesel to the U.S. at a drop of regular diesel, then re-export it to Europe at less than market value. New legislation would provide tax incentives for renewable fuels. Jonna Miller is with the AFBF, and she has this report.
The Renewable Energy and Energy Conservation Tax Act provides tax credits for businesses that invest in production of renewable fuels.
When Congress passed the energy bill to try to stimulate the supply of domestic energy production, they left a piece out, and that were the tax credits for the businesses that actually produce that energy. So this bill provides tax credits to businesses who will generate renewable energy.
American Farm Bureau tax specialist Pat Wolf says the tax incentives will encourage research in new fuels based on agricultural products. Jonna Miller, Washington.
Reports from China say that inflation in the PRC hit 7.1% in January. That's the highest level in more than 11 years. And the vice president for agricultural products and packaged food at Morgan Stanley says most ethanol investors have lost dollars, at least on paper, and there is growing concern about the market's volatility and uncertain political and economic future. Vincent Andrews says investors are increasingly putting their capital into inputs rather than outputs. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at the WILO radio stations, public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and Commodity Week. You can hear that second program tomorrow at 11:30 a.m. on WILL or at 8:30 a.m. on WHOW. That's 1520 on the AM dial in Clinton, Illinois. That all airs tomorrow. Commodity Week is our weekly look at what happened in the world of agricultural markets. You can also hear that program on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. Up next, you know, Washington can mire down legislation, and that's exactly what happened with the 2007 version of the Farm Bill. Many had expected to be signed into law late last fall. I'll have more on why the conferees were unable to work out a deal with the administration. Politics rule Washington. When the politics, the deals, and the money are right, legislation can move quickly. It doesn't happen often, and even when it appears legislation is on a fast track to the president's desk, it can get stuck. Just ask Bob Thompson. He's a farm policy expert at the University of Illinois and has watched and participated in farm bill debates for decades. This year, he says the legislation should have had an easy route to the White House, but it didn't.
It should have been. It should have been. Certainly the White House is a credible player in the debate with the conferees, because while the Senate passed the Farm Bill with a huge majority, definitely a veto-proof majority, the House didn't. And with 400 members out of 435 members of the House who are substantially urban-oriented, you've got to come up with something that will make them happy. And of course, there's more money for food stamps than the Farm Bill. as it passed both the House and the Senate.
But the substantially urban makeup of the House of Representatives presented the administration with another opportunity to hold the line on spending. It threatened a veto.
The White House basically says no tax increase, you got to reduce payment limitations, and you ought to bring it in line with our international obligations under the WTO trade agreement, and also the consistent with the positions we've been taking for the last 6 years in this round of trade negotiations.
The administration had presented a farm bill proposal with a $200,000 payment limitation. The House and Senate versions were both well above that level. As for meeting WTO requirements, it would mean the elimination of LDPs and countercyclical payments. Those were still in the farm bill when it got stuck in conference. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Baesdefer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
It's a Friday afternoon, time to take a look at the cash grain market, and Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois, joins us this afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
Tired of the snow yet?
I am sick and tired of the snow, to tell you the truth. Markets, you know, hot there at least. At least there's something hot out here.
You know, when I was reading the settlement prices this afternoon, I said it was a fairly narrow trading range, and it was 7 cents, and I was thinking, that's narrow.
Yeah, I mean, we were having to adjust our thinking. Nothing looks right out here. You know, I'm looking at $5 corn bids all down the bid sheet here right now. It wasn't that many years ago. I mean, I look at the weekly continuation charts, and beans were in the $5 range. But, you know, it's a quiet week. We're only up 7 cents on corn and 50 cents on beans on our flat price bid from last Friday when we talked.
And has it caused producers to move much in the way of grain, or are they just...
We see some buying every day. The producer has seen rallies so far and so fast. It's, you know, in essence, it's come so easy that they were selling into it, and it was a prudent thing to do. But the size of the purchase that we make has really come down. Instead of buying 5,000 bushels at a time, you buy 500 bushels at a time. Everybody's kind of afraid of running out of ammunition, so they've really cut back on the size of their sale.
Is that on old crop or new crop or both?
New crop is probably 5-to-1 on purchases, new crop to old crop. There's not all that much old crop out there. The farmer-owned grain in the elevator has primarily been sold. What's left out there is in the bin. Logistically, it'd like to move, but it doesn't want to be priced yet.
I have a question on that. It's out of the farmer's hands, but have you and other elevators moved that yet, or is it just sitting and waiting to be used at some time?
It's a case-by-case basis. Right now, I think people are setting on things if they can. I mean, our nearby basis is 46 under at Paxton. That's a historically wide basis. You have to think that if we could get the board to hold steady for a week or two, the basis would improve. But we just haven't been able to get it hold steady for a week or two.
Your bids for the day are?
We are at 502 on nearby corn and 1374 on beans.
We appreciate you being with us.
Thank you.
Thanks much. That's Bruce Bostard. He's with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Join us on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Friday afternoon. In 2 minutes, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. More than 4 inches of snow has fallen on parts of East Central Illinois today. The burst of snow prompted several mainly rural school districts to dismiss classes early. The National Weather Service extended a winter weather advisory to contain Piatt, Champaign, and Vermilion counties, as well as counties to the south. Our weather office says sleet and perhaps freezing rain may mix in with the snow this afternoon as it tapers off. A University of Illinois student has been hospitalized with a confirmed case of bacterial meningitis, and they want to know if a student who died yesterday had the contagious disease as well. The head of the McKinley Health Center says they've contacted more than 150 people who had close contact with the unidentified female student who's at a local hospital, and with 21-year-old senior Robert Davis of Mokena. He died last night in a hospital in Joliet. A university official says the two cases are believed to be unrelated. An autopsy and tests are planned to see if meningitis was the cause of Davis's death. The Republican nominee to replace retiring GOP Congressman Jerry Weller is withdrawing from the race. In a statement, Tim Balderman says he can't juggle his family life, his congressional candidacy, and two municipal jobs as the mayor of the Chicago suburb of New Lenox and a police chief of Chicago Ridge. Balderman had been slated to face Democratic State Senate Majority Leader Debbie Halverson and Green Party newcomer Jason Wallace in the 11th District seat. One of two former U of I football players charged in an apartment break-in last year has pleaded guilty. Derek McPherson will serve a 180-day jail sentence and 3 years probation on account of theft. Other charges have been dropped. McPherson and Joseph Ellis were kicked off the team after the arrest. They were charged with stealing a laptop from a campus apartment. Ellis is due in court next month. Presidential candidate John McCain spent the morning courting Indiana Republicans at a town hall meeting at a fundraiser in Indianapolis. In his public speech, he said he'd seek lower taxes, success in the Iraq War, and the appointment of conservative judges if he were elected to the White House. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Time now to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. We're joined by Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
When I made my trip from the south part of campus to the north part of campus, it was snowing pretty good, but it looks like it's tapered off. What's the rest of the afternoon going to be like for the area?
Well, it looks like there's another band of snow heading our way from the southwest. It won't be nearly as heavy as what we had the first 2 hours here. We had snow falling at better than a rate of an inch per hour. Officially here at the Water Survey, we've hit 3.5 inches as of 2 o'clock. I know out in eastern Champaign County near Ogden, they've had 4.5 inches. So there's some pretty good snow, but conditions have improved now here, especially in Champaign-Urbana, at least visibility-wise. And so it won't be, there'll be some light snow perhaps off and on the rest of the afternoon and evening, but nothing that'll be like it was earlier.
And it was a pretty fluffy snow, which means if we have any wind at all, it'll get blown around pretty heavily this evening, so it won't make any difference whether it's falling or not. It'll
True.
Matter whether it's blowing or not.
Yeah, but this is a pretty weak system, so we're not expecting any strong winds. It's not like some of the past storms that we've had where the winds kick into the northwest and start gusting at 30 miles an hour. Winds should stay fairly light, so I expect the travel problems to be pretty much what they are now, mostly snow-covered roads.
Would we expect the snowfall to stay around for a while, or will temperatures
well,
rise?
Well, it'll take a couple days to melt this down, but we could see a lot of it disappearing by Sunday when temperatures warm up a bit. And we have another system coming in here early next week, which will pull some warm air in ahead of it. That on Monday and early Tuesday, and that may take care of that of a lot of the snow then. But that'll bring some rain as well, and then we could get a little light snow on the back end of that. We aren't quite done with the cold weather. We're looking through the model through next week and even beyond that, we're still getting periodic shots of pretty cold air down through here. Now, it won't be as cold as it's been this last week or so, but temperatures, I think, are going to stay generally below normal for the foreseeable future. We'll have a day or two where it warms up, but we're pretty much, as you've been mentioning off and on, locked into this sort of active weather pattern. So just hang on.
Active indeed. Climatologically, where do we stand for precipitation this winter?
Up to our earlobes in precip. For Illinois and much of the Midwest, for the winter, precipitation is running 1.5 to 2x normal. For February, there's parts of Illinois and Indiana that are running up to 3 to 4x normal. This is our climatologically driest month of the year in most places, and we've had almost enough, as an example, we've had as much precip here in Champaign as we typically get in May. So really unusual. We've got plenty of precip, plenty of soil moisture going into the planting season. The question will be whether we'll have too much.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
No, but spring is approaching. It'll be a little while before it gets here, but everybody can hold on and hope for that.
Thank you much.
Okay.
That's Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center at the Illinois State Water Survey right here in Champaign County. And that is this edition of the Closing Market Report. Be sure to tune in tomorrow at 11:30 on WILL for Commodity Week and 8:30 on WHOW out of Clinton for that program. or you can visit our website at willag.org after 6 o'clock this evening and download the program as an MP3 file or sign up to have it delivered to your computer directly as a podcast. Have a good afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.